The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Barcarada here at the D. The Barrage, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Thursdays mean unscripted with Crackman. Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Krakman with a K. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Doggy Daddy, Gil, your method of increasing your San Francisco Super Bowl plays is simply pressing your strongest opinions, which is what makes all the difference in the world. Yes, that is well stated as well. That is exactly what I'm doing. Thank you, Doggy Daddy. Larry Fresh, oh yeah, Tankapalooza of the year became a true fan of Gil and all his knowledge. Was that producer number five, Jeff Parlay? Good question. I think it was. Was it five? Was it Parlay? Was it the first of the Grover Cleveland administrations? I believe it was. Jesse Welch, Gil, I don't know how you can bet the Niners to win it all. We all know that Tom Brady's 2022 Bucks are winning it all. No, I'm just kidding. I got the 110-1 Bills exacta, and I'll be adding viciously along with you yet again. Good for you. And over the levee, Gil, I also started watching the Showtime docuseries Action This Week, starring Todd Wishnev and Bill Krakenberger. Nice to get a peek inside the life of someone who does this for a living.
Oh, cool.
There you go. Action still
going. It's still going.
Still going, man.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still going on demand and also on JetBlue flights.
On JetBlue. It's on JetBlue as well. Kelly brought up something before we get back to your
story. Sure.
Kelly brought something up over the break, having to do with a sports book here that has changed apps and the problems that it has caused.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know the full extent, I guess, of the problems they've had. But, yeah, they have a new – Stations has a new app out there. It is it looks interesting. There was a lot of attractive qualities to it. I think Stations has always had one of the better live betting setups, at least for us here in Nevada. I know minus 125 on 6-point teasers, which that's about as best as you can do in this city now. So there were some reasons. I had to shut down my Stations account actually when COVID hit, when I was kind of going around town pulling all money out of everywhere because, you know, all of us didn't know whether or not we'd be coming back to sports or sports betting at all or when that would be. So I pulled it out then and pulled out my money then and never went back to set up an account. I like Stations, just had enough books, didn't really feel the need to have a Stations account. Went to go set up the new app yesterday, went down there. It's a whole process, but every one of these apps is a process. Get it set up, kind of fund the account, and I'm looking at the account, the amount in the account, and I'm, you know, kind of asking the guys, hey, this is the number, this is the amount of money I just gave you. Isn't there some left over from the old account? And they didn't really know. And I'm like, I know it wasn't much money. We're talking about literally, I don't know, $10 to $100, something like that.
Right, but for someone else, it could be a significant amount of money.
It could be, yeah, because it was when I cleaned out the whole account. But there should be 83 cents or something, whatever, for example, left over. So I'm looking at the account balance, and I'm kind of like, why is this just the number I gave you? Shouldn't this be my old account as well? And I couldn't get an answer from anybody, and I was like, look, guys, like it's a insignificant amount of money for me. Like, I'm good, whatever, I can walk away. But I ain't just PSA out there and everybody setting up a new stations app. Just be careful that your account stuff.
Yeah, I've heard some horror stories. You know, let's give the good, the bad, the ugly, and the good also about Stations. One, I love that you can walk in and they have sheets of paper with the limits on the bottom of each sport.
Limits, imagine.
Nobody has that.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Circa has that on their app. But that's something that the big sports books don't want you to do. They don't want to let you know because everyone gets certain limits or, you know, $10. I mean, it's for people like me sometimes. But I love that. It shows you that. Also, Stations is a must. If you come to this town and you are serious about sports betting more than $100 a game, you should have Stations funded, that app funded, because they have a very slow-moving line. They take a bet before they move the line. They're not really on air moving like a lot of sports books just move without taking a bet. I give them the credit. They actually take a bet. However, you do have to go in and get a pulse check. If you have a pulse, you're not allowed to play. So, you know, so guys like me,
there's actually someone standing there.
Yeah, he has a pulse.
Your pulse.
No good.
I got you.
Yeah, they're going to throw you off the app if you're sharp. I don't care what they say. They say, oh, no, we don't do that. We don't throw people. The antique that used to run the place, he's gone in antique land with all of his millions of dollars. So maybe it should change a little bit with the guys that are running it now. I hope so anyway. But, yeah, I've gotten multiple emails. So that people had to go. You have to go in, some people, and, like, your previous balance is not purged. Is that the right word? Purged over, or previous bets or pending things. So,
did your pending bets make it over?
You didn't have any, right?
I didn't have any because I closed out the account five years ago.
Okay.
You know, it's a lesson learned too for people because, guys, you have to make copies. Remember when William Hill went down for those that, like, it was like almost a week. And the balances were gone. They weren't right. And that really put me in check where I have to check my pending bets. And I just make copies of everything pending bet-wise. Just it's so simple on your phone. Just to take a copy.
Screenshot.
Press a button, screenshot everything.
You know what? I don't do that
most people don't.
Enough.
No, we don't. I'm guilty of it, too. But that taught me a little bit of a lesson. So I do it more often now than I don't.
This was what you're referring to is right after the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
How everything at William Hill went
dark. They lose? Was a lot of business because, like, wasn't it right during the Super Bowl?
It might have been during. Yes, it was during. Oh, that's correct.
Wow.
It was during the Super Bowl.
Think about the business they lost with halftime bets. And
yeah, it was during the Super Bowl.
Live wagering.
And then it didn't get reconciled for a long time.
No. And there was, like, rumors in the industry, like, oh, my God, someone got in their system and everything's gone. You have,
Wishnet was freaking out.
Yeah, no. So it's a good lesson to know. Make copies of your bets, guys and girls. Make copies of screenshots, photo, anything that's pending, when you go in there and just your balance, it's just good to see it just in case something like this happened. I don't know what happened at stations. Maybe something happened with it crashed because they didn't warn anybody, according to what I'm reading. It just happened. And then you have to have a new app. And the new app is not reflective. You have to purge the balances. You have to find out your pending bets. Some people didn't have pending, according to the people that DM'd me. So
what was your story now?
So I had a buddy here for 10 days. And he comes into town every couple of months, obviously a very big player. And he goes to the stratosphere, and I'll tell you why. You're a big fish in a little pond if you're a big player there, rather than go to like an MGM or a Caesars.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because, you know, he comes in with a $100,000 credit line. And that's a big player. That could be just an average big player at those places.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he gets, here's why. He doesn't really care about being the big player. He cares about getting the seats. So he goes to every Vegas Knights game. Every Raiders game, he just timed it where there was back-to-back Raider games. He got to go to both of them. Vegas Knights games, the NBA game where the Lakers were here. He went to that game. And he has, and by the way, he gets literally the whole box. So at the Lakers game and the Vegas Golden Knights, he had like 8 seats. So he invited a lot of people. I invited some friends. He said, yeah, bring them over. Like John Orlando came over with a couple guys, my co-host on Wisecracks. He came over for a couple. And the Raiders games, he asked me to go to both of them. I had no interest in going. So John went to them also. So comes over. He's playing, obviously, back. It was the first day he came and walked in the strat. He won like $20,000. Gave that back and back and forth, $10,000, $20,000 swings every day. And sure enough, he had a rubber band with 10 $5,000 chips, eight from Aria and 2 from Wynn. Because he loves playing high-limit poker on the weekend when they have it. He'll sit down with the whole thing. I mean, he likes playing that. So he puts them down at a slot machine because they were doing something in his pocket. He said it was pointing them or something. Something happened. He put it down, took them out of his pocket, put it down next to the slot machine. And I said, how can you do something like that?
That's my reaction.
But you know what he says? Yeah. I'm scatterbrained. And you want to know something? I've been in situations during, like, the Super Bowl where I don't have enough pockets. And, like, even now, you should have pockets. Like, you know, like those Cuban shirts are the best shirts to wear. They have 2 pockets here, 2 pockets there. They're the best shirts to wear with pockets for sports bettors. Now, I do have a bag that I have now that I carry with me, a little bag. But I don't keep money in the bag because I'm afraid someone will grab the bag.
So what did he do? He just looked away?
No, he walked away.
Oh.
He was on the phone, walked away.
Oh, man.
He walked away from the machine. Oh. And so now he notifies the casino host, the VP, And they said, yeah, well, we'll go to surveillance. So sure enough, surveillance finds the tape of the guy taking the chips and walking out the front door. Now, he didn't steal them. He found them. You know what I mean? So
yeah. He
can't get charged with a crime. It's not like he stole them off somebody. Goes out, and by the way, he'll never be seen in the stratosphere again.
Of course.
Walked out the front door.
That's a tough place to never come back to.
Yeah, no.
Gosh.
So, yeah, so now he takes – now think about this. He's got $5,000 chips, otherwise known as flags. He's got these $5,000 chips. You can't easily cash $5,000 chips in a casino.
Right.
So now if you go over and try to give the win one, they're going to say, where did you get this chip?
Right.
I think there's even RFID readers in the win chips. Yeah. I'm not positive. But they're going to say, where did you get these chips from? So now this guy, if he's sharp, and boy, I shouldn't be saying this now, but it's been a week. So what do? You have to find someone that's a high roller, or you find poker players. Let me tell you, the poker players pass $5,000 chips around like they're handing coasters to each other for your drink. I mean, there's nothing. So he could find a poker player and then give him a percentage of the chip or whatever it may be, or he could find a high roller at the win and cash him in. But my thing is, why doesn't the surveillance team at Stratosphere, they have a copy, they have a photo of the guy, why can't you give it to Aria and give it to Wynn. Say, hey, this guy took $5,000 in chips, $50,000 in chips, $5,000 in nominations.
Do you know that they don't do that?
I got to be real blunt. I heard that they just don't care because they didn't do anything. Nothing has happened. He wasn't contacted. All they have to do, I think, is just tell them to, hey, this guy stole these chips. Or I'm using the word stole. He didn't steal them.
But you're right, though. That guy.
Why can't they help each other?
That guy's biggest, quote-unquote, problem now is how to actually transfer that to actual cash.
Yeah. But it's not illegal what he did. So if God forbid they give the information to the guy and you go after him or something happens, liable.
And your guy's just out of luck.
He's just out of luck. $50,000 down the drain.
Oh, it's brutal.
And
man.
To quote the Bronx Tale, nobody cares. Yeah.
Crack. More crack on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to check out VSiN's betting splits?
Move it!
But don't have a VSiN Pro subscription yet? No problem. This week only, we're giving everyone access to the betting splits for free. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Get free access to VSiN's betting splits all this week at VSiN.com/splits. That's VSIN.com/splits.
All right, let's go number six, Jose Feliciano. Feliz Navidad.
Yes, been done by numerous artists, but the great Spanish singer, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Yes,
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
The song stylings of the great Wesley Reynolds.
Wow, Wes can go underneath one of those, lampposts in the Bronx, a cappella, like Dion and the Belmonts.
You called it perfectly yesterday where, I didn't get to see it yet, but you were like, Wes, he leaned into it. And it required him leaning into it.
Good for him.
There's a couple things I appreciate. There's many things I appreciate so much about Wes. But just, it's all on display here.
Yes.
One, he takes a moment or two to give some musical background,
mm-hmm.
right? He does this with everything. I can throw any subject out at Wes, and he's like, oh, yes, responsible for the 1984 remix of the songs. I'm like, yeah, no, that's great background. Right? So he gives a few seconds on the, and then not only did he sing it, he tried to tailor it to the very accent of of Jose Feliciano, and he does that for every one of his top 10 Christmas songs.
That was great.
I mean, come on.
That's cool. Can we watch that somewhere, by the way?
Yeah.
VSiN.com.
Yeah.
VSiN app. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Excellent. Now let's talk about a little bit of positive. Oh, by the way, there's a $10,000 reward if anyone knows where. No questions asked if we find those chips.
Oh, about the story for
$10,000 cash. Oh. No one. Just hand them over and you get $10,000 back. I think you can give a $49,000 reward and they wouldn't even turn them in, to be honest with you.
You know what I always think about, right? Like that? The no questions asked. I always wonder if, like, if I actually come in, they asked me a question, would I be like, ah. No questions.
Like the taste of soup? Taste of soup?
Taste the soup.
That's actually got me laughing. Yeah. Let me tell you, food-wise, I've seen a chef in town. This Asian guy, he's very, very good. He's a fantastic chef, good food reviewer. I wish I knew his Twitter handle. He said something, and he's so right. Las Vegas, I'll, New York has good food, too. It's like one of my food places, of course. But I'll tell you what.
Oh,
Las Vegas.
I'm telling you. I agree.
We have such great food here. We don't realize it. We have Chinese, Korean, Japanese barbecue place I go to. Like, there's stuff here, the steakhouses. You can have some of the best local cheap food. Also, up and down, there's some really good. What's the kids eat now with the ramen? There's ramen places.
Ramen places.
Yeah. There's like ramen places all over the city. Like that used to be when we had no money. We'd eat ramen like years ago. Now it's a thing that you could.
Got us through college. Ramen.
Yeah, you got us through college. Now you pay $10 for a ramen soup.
I never really understood that development either. Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere. That
places all over the city ramen.
Now. Can I also tell you about what Vegas, like, as compared to other great food cities like a San Francisco? In a city like San Francisco or New York or something like that, there's a certain number of restaurants where it's like easily accessible, but there's always a bunch where you're like, oh, but if I go to that place, it's a pain in the butt to park.
Yeah.
And I got to go across town. Vegas, it's all so easy.
Oh, see, I didn't think of that. Cause like when I go to like Wohop, it's a little dive in Chinatown. So now I'm going to pay as much to park as I am just to eat. So you're right. I never really give that a thought. Vegas, you can just pull right in.
You just pull right. It's so easy.
Speaking of which, let me ask you something.
It's a giant suburb disguised, you know, with one strip in the middle.
When you lived up there in San Fran, the Asian restaurants, do they give you the little noodles and duck sauce or no? That's an East Coast thing. You know, the little noodles and the little duck sauce thing. See, no one knows that out west here.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Back east, it was a giant thing. Yeah. Like, in back east, the noodles and duck sauce comes to the table. Like going to a Mexican place and getting salsa, chips and salsa. It's the same thing there. You give it out free. I just didn't know.
Fried noodles? Like the fried noodles?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me up in San Fran. But anyway, there you go. So I had to take a shot. Sorry, Gil.
I knew it was coming. I was like, and there it is.
No. Oh, that's what you're going to say? So listen, not only do we have those cheap eats here, but we have expensive restaurants. Joel Rubichon, steak, seafood, sushi. I'll put it up against any city. We really have some really good food here. And I don't know if you want this public, but I'm going to say it anyway. You said that you mentioned some great restaurants, Esther's, and people don't even know about these lakes places.
Esther's, I'm going to Esther's tonight. Esther's is downtown.
Downtown.
Esther's Sushi?
No.
No.
No. Sorry.
You know I had to do it.
I did the secret sushi last night.
He did it last night, the secret sushi.
Esther's Kitchen is downtown. It is spectacular.
Oh, I heard some really good things about it.
Yeah.
Where is it downtown?
Yeah, like we're here.
Oh, it is. How can I? I actually don't know exactly where it is, but it's south of here.
Okay.
It's like right when downtown begins.
Okay.
So just north of Charleston, I believe.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Arm yourself. Okay. So Monday and Tuesday, where did you go?
Oh, yeah. We drive by it every day.
Monday, we watched the football game at Lotus of Siam at Red Rock.
I didn't know you could even watch it there. That's great.
At the bar. Tuesday, we went to, this is another sushi place, not the secret sushi place, Kabuto, which is very good sushi.
I heard about it.
I've been there for many years. Yesterday was secret sushi, and then tonight is Esther's. This is my brother's in town.
So
It's like a food
gorge. Is this the doctor?
Yeah, well, former.
Former doctor.
And then tomorrow is this place in Summerlin, which is brand new, called Anima, A-N-I-M-A, which is spectacular also.
Isn't that a song by Tool? No, never mind. Anyway.
Vegas, but to your point, can go night after night after night, and it's just one thing more spectacular.
It is. Look at the restaurants you lined up for your brother.
Yeah.
Lotus of Siam, is it as good as the original? Well, original was on Sahara.
The original was something authentic, right?
The original something, but now they moved it to Flamingo, right?
There's one on Flamingo,
right.
And then there's now one at Red Rock.
But it's still great.
It's still great.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So someone asked one of our tweets, there was someone asking for some kind of food pho. So, I mean,
pho. Yeah, he was pho. At so well,
Pho.
There's a famous pho place among
others. They all make the same joke. Come on. I don't even know if you're going down that route, but
they all
like,
make the same joke.
You could drive by six of them in Vegas, and you're like, I get it. It's yeah. Like, I get the joke.
Yeah, there's one right on Spring Mountain where, should I even say what the second?
Sure.
I'd have to spell them, but they all try to make a play on the word.
Oh, they do?
And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Nikki Betts, he mentioned that. He asked for about. So we have, like I said, the Asian restaurants here in town, the Chinatown here. Listen, okay, Chinatown in New York may be a little bit better, I understand, or San Fran a little bit better, but we're right there. Our Chinatown is fantastic. Some great chefs.
If you think about the quality of like a sushi, right? The fact, like we should appreciate the fact that we are in we're in a desert, right? Like Bugsy Siegel coming out to this valley and being like, I will put a city here. This is my, like he's nuts, right? Absolutely nuts. Yeah. And the fact that we can have the greatest quality of day sushi.
Hard to believe.
Or sashimi shipped to the desert. Every single day is an amazing feat of humanity.
You think Benny Siegel would have had a good Jewish deli when he opened up, though?
You think.
You know? We have some Jewish delis here, but nothing like back home, in my opinion.
That was San Francisco's weakness, too, the lack of a deli.
Yeah.
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 That was
a
big weakness.
But, okay, you know, I heard either Las Vegas Chris or Fezzik say this, and this is on a show. This was, we can go all over here, food, now football, but it's really a good thing to remember because I have ADD. I'll forget by the time it comes. I didn't even know I mentioned something on the show last week. So betting against San Fran third and fourth quarter may be real profitable. So you want to make sure you check your book if it has halftime. Some of the books have third and fourth quarter on all the games. Matter of fact, most of the books kind of have that. It may be real profitable to do when San Fran is in the mode where they don't have to win any games. So you would think it'd be baked in the line, but a lot of times they'll just go by what the computer spits out.
The algorithm.
The algorithm spits out.
Yeah.
So that's something that may be good down the line here.
We on the Megapod, I get the angle that they're talking about with San Francisco might not have something to play for if they have a big lead and they sort of can relax.
Yep.
But the most consistent talked about bet that we have talked about on the Megapod this year, and I give Todd credit for this, is that third quarter bet. Not every book offers them, by the way. Right, only a few books do. I think Caesars does in town. I'm not sure if anybody else does, but there is really like I can't. There's too many bets we've won to count on just betting the team that ends up getting the ball first in the third quarter, and if they are a significantly better team than the opponent, it is a really exploitable line.
Yeah, so you
it
want,
really is.
And we're not saying now, but just I'm mentioning it now to prepare yourself in the next couple weeks.
That's right.
And it's not just San Fran.
No.
It could be some other teams, too. And I mentioned, on the way in, I heard you talking about the San Fran, what do they call it?
DraftKings
has them, the
Exactas.
So some places in town have them also. Remember, that San Fran team lost three in a row. Now, I grant it, they were down Williams, I think, at the offensive guy, and they might have been down Deebo Samuel at the time. But any given Sunday, just be careful with the over betting. You know, more than 1% of your allotted sports betting bankroll. Anyone out there.
I always say it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's how I bet.
Because those Exactas, they have a lot of juice. So
I'll talk to you right before the Super Bowl. We'll see how we feel.
Okay.
Coming back, more crack. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's crowded in here. A lot of college basketball day games. All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action this week. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jason H11. We need to hear Bidlin singing Santa Baby.
Oh, Santa I love that baby. Song.
We're down the chimney tonight.
There's a female that sings that. I don't know what it is, but
Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt. All right.
The Palm Readers, accounts that have not been used for several years, talking about Kelly's thing with stations,
are
considered dormant and closed in many states. Your money should be sent to the state treasurer. You can search online to see if you have money held by the treasurer. Let's see. Nikki Betts was the one. 303. Nikki Betts 303 was the one asking about pho. Recommendations in town. Love tuning in on Thursdays. Thank you, Nikki. Steven Vegas, Had some ideas about how the person who stole the 50K.
Oh, I didn't see
do it.
Does it involve a hammer?
It involves, I will quote him, strippers, unquote.
Oh, they'll look at him for you.
Bert Wiedemeyer, the Cuban shirt, not to be outdone by the great cargo shorts, LOL, he says.
Oh, yeah, he's right.
Lots of pockets. What are the Crackman cargo shorts?
No. Yeah.
We've got to get a clothing company on that one.
He's right, though. The more pockets, like Super Bowl time, you have to have a lot of pockets. Cargo and the Cuban shirt is fantastic.
Keno Walker, why would the casino care? At the end of the day, they're going to get the 50 anyway. It all comes back to the casino. And then a lot of love for Wes Reynolds. This is from FoxPHLGambler.com. He says, I caught it live. Wes, I caught the Wes Reynolds Christmas thing live. It was awesome. I'm glad Gil and company are showing you love. LOL, Merry Christmas, brother. Jesse Welch, oh my God, those clips of Wes Reynolds are gold. Those need to be running as commercials for VSiN and DraftKings ASAP.
Screw commercials. You know what I was just thinking about, Gil? I'm like, why are we doing anything on Christmas Day? You should just replay that segment.
Just play his
over
music
and over and over and over again all day.
like a local radio station.
Are you guys here
Christmas
Monday morning?
Yeah, we
Kelly
are.
Kelly and I are here.
Wow.
Actually, we're not here. We're getting appropriate circa.
Oh, we are?
Oh, you are?
PSA.
Bro, you got to text me that morning because I'm going to be right here otherwise.
Oh, nice.
Russell Smith. Someone send me that in an email? Probably. Russell Smith, Christmas special with Wes was awesome the other night. The Springsteen song he did was the best, in my opinion. Oh, he did Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, wow.
From Bruce Springsteen made his list.
We've got number one loaded up for next segment.
Oh, good.
Oh, so not only our
number
top five, but Wes's number one.
Yes.
Chance Copperpot, Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, still my favorite Christmas song. Benny Propane. I love that name, Benny Propane.
A great name.
He says, I found Crack's bag of chips. Meet me at Vic and Anthony's tomorrow, 8 p.m. sharp, he said, Crack.
Oh, wow. I would do it.
Oh, and then a lot of love for Esther's. Chris Heath, we walked into Esther's back. We walked from Esther's back to the D a couple summers ago. Too hot, even at night, but not a bad walk after a meal. Talking about location. Tony Farmer, Esther's is in the Arts District. I'm obsessed. When I'm in town, I make two reservations
wow.
every time. The desserts are ridiculous, and I could seriously drink the marinara sauce on the meatballs. I went there the first time with my buddy who recommended it, Dan, and he was like, dude, trust me, just get the spaghetti.
Unbelievable.
I was like, the straight spaghetti. He goes, trust me.
Oh, wow.
I trusted him. It was spectacular.
I have to check that out.
It must be like a la dente. Real. It must be fantastic.
It is fantastic.
I always laugh when I hear the Arts District just because I had my cousin and wife come out to visit like a year ago. And they're like, yeah, we're going to spend the day in the Arts District. No, this wasn't a year ago. This was this year because we were here already. And I was like, Arts District. I'm like, isn't that like the small little
Where's
area?
That at?
I drive by every day on the way.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
It is.
Do they still have First Friday? Do we still do that in town?
Oh, I don't know. Good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
It was like, no, it was so cool. Like food truck set up and it just was a really cool thing. Every first
You're
Friday.
A yes from the back.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently. Yeah.
First Friday of the month. It was really cool. And it's embarrassing that us three don't know about
it.
People come in town, you know, plan their vacations around First Friday, the Arts District, Esther's, like you're saying. I'm embarrassed. I don't know.
Oakland used to do First Fridays all the time. I don't know if they still do it.
Well, someone pointed out earlier this week, I have no class whatsoever. So, you know, no class, no culture, you know.
Yeah.
All falls in line.
Just so Oakland did it, too. The same thing.
Oakland
did you ever go?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, that, you're making a face.
No, I'm not making a face. Okay. I stopped going because, you know.
Certain reasons.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. Oakland was great first Fridays. Yeah.
But we have so many things like that in town we don't realize. Like, I don't think we've ever talked about the mob. Well, I didn't in my segments anyway. The mob museum here is so good.
Oh, so good.
Like, when they were building it, I thought, you know, because I love the mob culture and the old things that happened and stuff. Now, I don't glamorize them or glorify them, by the way. I do like the story, some of the stories behind things, and maybe the town might have been a better town when the mob ran the town. But when they built the mob museum, I was like, okay, it's going to be like tchotchke.
Me too. Same reaction.
So good.
So
I've been there multiple times, and I never knew they had the wall where the brick wall where the guys in St. Valentine Massacre, they were, you know, they posed as either cops or agents, and they made them turn and they killed them against the wall. They have the wall there with the bullet holes in it. They have the electric chair where certain mobsters were put to death. I mean, not only that, though, it's the audio tour. You go in and listen to the audio tour. Freddie from Piero's, the guy that owns Piero's, you know, Freddie Glassman, he narrates one walking in, and he's got that kind of voice, too, you know. So there's so many good, you could spend the whole day there. Just like when I went to didn't realize it. I went to Dallas one time, and I had a couple hours to kill. And I said, let me go down to where Kennedy was killed.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. You know, I think I talked about that recently. And when I was in the book depository, they had a literally come to me and said, I'm sorry, sir, we're closing. You have to leave. I went in the 12, 6 p.m. They literally threw me out. It was so good. I don't realize these kind of – you would think it'd be boring. And the way they put some thought into these book tours, these audio tours when you're walking through, and there were so many different things, not only about Vegas mob stuff. The stuff is all about mob culture throughout the world, not even the country. So it's really good.
Do you know why Kelly agrees to go to the mob museum now?
Well, why?
Tell him, Kelly.
I was embarrassed. We were just talking about it. It was a week ago. I've never been. It's right down the street. I've never been. All I thought at first, when I first heard good things, exactly what you guys said. Like, I thought it was going to be a little cheesy, like, nah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I've heard from so many people, it's so great. But the real tipping point for me is the fact there's a bar in there. If you want to get me to more museums, put a bar in there.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Because they have the little speakeasy. Is there? They have a little hidden speakeasy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even know you drank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got that little nose. I could see it now. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a great call. Mob Museum is awesome.
You know, we go back and forth here between so many things. That's why it's called Unscripted. I want to talk about casinos not liking winners before we get off this segment here. You know, it's amazing. Even the place I go to, my favorite casino in town, I want to know, this is a question for any casino executives that are listening, or maybe you can even DM me privately. There's a way to do that now on Twitter. It's called X. So I want to know, what is the purpose of a casino host desk if you walk up to that desk and they can only do what a kiosk can do? So, and I'm referring to the Wynn, my favorite place. Mm. You know, I talk good about the place all the time. Yeah. I'm going to tell you the positives and the negatives, though.
Most beautiful place on the Strip.
Beautiful. And I love the place. And my particular host is a vice president. It's very good to me. I don't want to bother him all the time. So I walk up to one of the casino hosts with the missus. And her card, I get, you know, we get free play on both of our cards. So she gets $500 a week, and we play it, run it through. And I've run pretty good there in the beginning, but I lost like $4,000 on it. So I said, let's get a comp under your name. I've never asked for a comp under her name ever. Go to the desk, and the 25-year-old, fresh out of college kid, he looks at the thing, can't do nothing for you. I said, well, lost $4,000. Yeah, there's $30 there if you want it. $30. Like, we were asking for $100 for the restaurant. And I'm like, wait a minute. What about the $4,000? It just lost. He goes, well, yeah, overall on this card, though, you're up $8,000. Now, I said, listen, hold on. We come in every single week, drop and play, never have asked for a comp. We've been in 13 weeks in a row. And, yes, the first week I won $16,000 on the card, two Royals, hit $8,000. I wanted to win $16,000. But I gave back a big percentage of that, just lost $4,000 fresh, never asked for a comp, and you're telling me there's only $30 there. What's the purpose of having that guy there if he can only do what the kiosk does? Now, of course, I called my host, and he's like, Bill, why are you dealing with anybody else? Tell me. But I want to know, what's the purpose of this person being there? You know, it's an insult to people. You just, $4,000's a lot of money, $4,000 just to come in and drop play without asking for anything. And you ask for a $100 comp after, 12, 15 trips in there, and then tell me no. I just don't understand. Imagine it perplexes me. I don't know why that person's even there. And by the way, not just the Wynn, all across the city, I want to know why they have casino desks if you can't do exception comps.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And the thing is, most people will run into that guy. Most people don't have a relationship like you do.
Then they're going to leave Gil and never come back again.
That's right.
And by the way, you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell their friends back home, boy, don't go to this place. This guy was so mean to me. And, he wouldn't give me $100 and I lost $4,000. Now think about how that reflects on all their business down the line.
It's very true.
Could be the Bronx Tale. Nobody cares.
Yeah, in corporations that big and in systems that are that big, that's not surprising that there would be people like that who, just want to toe the company line.
The Wynn is very good to me.
Yeah.
I don't use the gourmet comps a lot and stuff on them, but I play under my card. I play a little bit heavy, so they're very good to me. I'm not downing them. It's the greatest place, great restaurants.
Still the one hotel on the Strip where when I'm inside, I feel like I'm on vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Still
like you
feel
said.
Like I'm on vacation, like I never lived here. We'll come back. Our favorite Christmas songs of all time, including Wes Reynolds, number one of all time. If you missed that, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking a bit smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all College Bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander on the show tomorrow. College football with Chris Velika and Dr. Bob. Bowl season ramping back up with 7 games on Saturday. We do have one today, one tomorrow. Then tomorrow, Matt Brown on the NFL. And Bill, I don't know if you know this, we're having a gentleman who is one of the 10 remaining Circa Survivor entrants. He is the poker player, Sean Perry, that did not want to chop.
Huh.
So he's on.
When's he going to be on?
Tomorrow.
Nice. Excuse me. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Right. What was that? What just happened there?
I don't know. Like, he's the guy that didn't want to chop.
He's the guy that didn't want to chop.
Yeah. But, you know, I will understand after we listen to him a little bit more.
Okay.
I guess.
Yes.
Why
I think
not?
We will.
Yeah, maybe he has got a ton of partners or something, you know.
Who goes first, Kelly? Christmas songs,
Wes
favorite of all
Reynolds
time.
Reynolds goes first with number one. Ooh, on the charts,
Wes
baby.
Reynolds, number one of all time.
What is it, Wes?
It is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song.
Well, are you going to sing?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Whoever was directing last night, I mean,
Yuletide carols. Ah. Being sung by choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. And then I have to go to the closing version. And so I'm offering the simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Wes Reynolds, everybody.
All right. Good job,
wow.
Wes.
Incredible. Incredible.
What did he say? Chestnuts roasting on an open what?
Open fire.
No, but he was like, oh.
Oh.
I was like, what was that?
Hey, man, the guy was trying to read,
he
sing.
He was outstanding. Wes, love you, man. That was incredible. That was such commitment.
It really was. It was.
By the way, for those who missed it and weren't watching at VSiN.com or on YouTube TV, he went to you with the finger point.
Yeah, with the finger point. He got that in, and whoever was directing last night, bravo. Like, that is the camera cuts,
the fade, the switching of shots, the zooming in, the emotion. Bill, what's your favorite Christmas song of all time?
Oh, of all time. You know what? Wes has a good one there. Nat King Cole's voice is unbelievable. So when we were kids, we had these Time Life Treasury of Christmas on vinyl. For vinyl, it was a round record, in case people don't know, a round thing. But you used to open up the album, two-sided, and a Christmas Village would pop out. It was really cool. So there were some great songs on there. Of course, I'm still going to go with, like, a Bing Crosby or, Nat King Cole's fantastic. I love Perry Como, too. So let me give you some of the songs, though. White Christmas, of course. The 12 Days of Christmas. Fantastic. These are, like, more like the Christmas song by the Carpenters. People don't even know. Mm. Fantastic song. Perry Como, anything. Going into a couple more here. Jingle Bell Rock, Bobby Helms. I'm going to give you one that people, it's a newer one. See if you guys ever heard of this one. Do you guys know the Christmas song by the Waitresses? It's called The Christmas Wrapping.
Oh, it's on my honor roll mention.
You're
list.
You're kidding me, because people don't even know that.
You know
one.
Who hipped me to that? Velika and PETA. Both.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Burl Ives, of course, with the Holly Jolly Christmas. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee. I shouldn't have went first. I'm going to spoil it for you. There's a Trans-Siberian Orchestra that sings a song. They actually don't sing the song, but they have it's Christmas Eve, Sarajevo. Sarajevo, it's grand, fantastic. I do like Last Christmas by Wham. I'm going to give you the one that I absolutely love, but you have to be a Peanuts fan.
Oh, yeah.
The Vincent called? Guarlandia Trio.
Yeah.
It's called Christmas Time Is Here. Do you know that?
It's so great.
You know the Peanuts song.
Yeah.
I want to finish off with Andy Williams, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. There we go.
Of course. Which ESPN uses for their College Bowl season.
Oh, really?
By the way, it is my yearly reminder to those that what do all these have in common, Bill? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, let it snow.
Santa Baby. It's the most wonderful time of the year, which you just mentioned. Silver Bells, White Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer rocking around the Christmas tree, A Holly Jolly Christmas.
Oh, love that.
Walking in a Winter Wonderland. What do all of those have in common,
ooh,
Bill Krakenberger?
There's a lot of songs there. No, go ahead.
Written by members of the tribe.
Wow.
All of them.
That's unbelievable.
That's right.
Wow.
Anything we can do to stave off the anti-Semitism?
That's unbelievable. They're writing Christmas songs.
All right, here are my honorable mention of all time. You mentioned the first one, Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses. Again, I owe Chris Felica and Joe Pita a shout-out for that one. They hit me to it. Christmas Time is Here by Ray Parker Jr. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a distinct R&B bent to many of these, but the guy who gave us Ghostbusters gave us a great Christmas classic, Christmas Time is Here. All I Want for Christmas is You, Kelly, Mariah Carey. Whenever
honorable mention?
Honorable mention. Whenever there is male background vocals involved, I'm down.
Yeah.
How about Mariah Carey and her unbelievable hit-making career? This ends up being the biggest song of her entire life.
Wow.
She looked, I've got that on
she
CD
looked good there.
Still. I've got that on probably an MP3 player. I got it on my phone right now.
I remember when it came out. David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
Ooh, I love that.
The Peace on Earth Little Drummer Boy mashup.
Bing died 2 weeks later. People don't know that.
Oh, is
he
that
He made
right?
that. It's his last song. 2 weeks later, he died.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Before mashups were cool kids, they did a mashup.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was great. And then the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, has been done, you know, a myriad of times by everybody. My favorite version is by Al Jarreau, the great singer.
I love Al Jarreau.
Whose voice itself ought to be known as an instrument. All right, here are my top five. You ready?
Yeah.
Number five, The Temptations version of Silent Night. It's a 6-minute-plus version. It is slow. It is falsetto. It is beautiful. It is everything you want in Christmas music. It's number five. Number four, for those of you who know a little Christmas R&B, New Edition had one. It's called It's Christmas All Over the World. It is fantastic. Should be part of your Christmas medley every year. Number three, Paul McCartney, A Wonderful Christmas Time.
Oh, that's fun.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. He vomited that out in 10 seconds, probably.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Fantastic. Number two, Matt Humans gave Wes Reynolds all kinds of guff for having Last Christmas as his number 10 from Wham. My complaint with Wes is the opposite. It wasn't high enough.
Wow.
Wham's Last Christmas, number two Christmas song of all time as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, speaking of vomiting it out, George Michael vomited that one out in a matter of minutes. And it's a Christmas classic. And number one, never to be toppled, Donnie Hathaway's This Christmas. The greatest Christmas song of all of them.
Really?
You know that one, Kelly?
I don't know it.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Hang up the mistletoe. I want to get to know you better.
Wow, I don't know.
That's
know
number one?
This Christmas. You don't know that?
I don't know that. I know
oh, bruh.
Well, you know, bruh. The title's so descriptive. You know what I mean? It really helps separate
side
it from all the other.
Brazen bright. You know that song? Oh, I got to plug. I'll give that to you.
I can't believe it. Wow. I thought you were going to have, like, the Hanukkah song or something.
No.
Adam Sandler. No. Sorry.
As he pointed out already, they're all
Have I mentioned what those 11 songs have in common? Have I mentioned that?
Wow, yeah.
Kelly, what do you got?
All right, we're starting at number five, Christmas in Hollis Run DMC. Every time I hear this song, I don't care when it is, but
you
it
know
gets
what?
Me.
I actually like that.
Yeah, I
You're
love
right.
it, too.
Forgot
I
about
love
that.
It too.
Hollis Queens.
I'm all over the place with mine. Here's your Bing Crosby, Mili Kaliki Maka.
Good man.
Love
got
that
Bing
song.
In there.
I don't know if I know that.
Oh, the Hawaiian Christmas.
It's a Hawaiian way. Merry Christmas.
Again, not written by a tribesman. No.
Also, I used to be able to play the ukulele in college, and this is the only song I knew, so I just went around doing that all the time.
Wow, good on you.
So that's number four. Run, Run, Rudolph, that one, number three
Chuck
for me.
Chuck Berry.
That one was that is one of my favorites. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, we mentioned that
Love
one already.
Around the
and then the all-time greatest, the GOAT, All I Want for Christmas Is You by the Mariah Carey.
I can't have that number one.
You don't like that one, do you?
I like it. It's a beautiful song. It's a nice song. I know all the kids like it. You know, under 30 crowd, I understand. They're 35. But, I mean,
it's
classic Christmas is Christmas to me, though.
Yeah,
it's the Nat King Cole, the Bing Crosby.
You got to have room for new blood in there every once in a while. And that one, when the male background vocals hit you, and I,
oh,
come
really?
On, you got to love that.
Yeah. You know, we didn't mention none of the collaborations. collaborations with the big, it's Christmas time, you know, like with, there was all different, like Bono and different, like there's a couple different collaborations of, that were out there. They're really good.
There was one with Bono. I was, like, when I was Bono. Doing my deep research for this yesterday.
No, that's actually a great one though. It's got like the stars in that video.
You're talking about Band-Aid. Band-Aid. They know it's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas? Yeah. That's it. There was a couple of them though, but that's one. Yeah. That's the one I'm talking about. Right.
Yeah.
They're really cool too. You know, Christmas songs can be all over the place. I can't believe the list. I never expected the R&B list and the harm. But you know what? You mentioned some good ones, though.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot about some of those things.
I have a CD. Like, I love Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Love Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Kelly. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for...
And to you, Bill, for sure.
No problem. Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
We'll be back tomorrow. Kelly and I will be back on Christmas morning. We've done all we can do for today. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.